Bible. I am what it says I am. Now say, I can do what it says I can do. Boldly declare, I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, well, I'm excited to continue in our series on I Know I Can. Let's go to what has been our foundational text, Philippians 4 and 13 in the Amplified, and then I'm going to go to Hebrews 10 and 35. Philippians 4 and 13, and then Hebrews 10 and 35. The writer says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything. Everybody say anything. And equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I love this next part. He says, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. In other words, Jesus is all I need. How many can say Jesus is all I need? At the end of the day, Jesus is really all I need. Amen? Because in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. He is the one that empowers me. He is the one that helps me take my lickings and keep on ticking. He is the one that helps me get through every obstacle, every trial, every trouble. And without him, I'd be nothing. Isn't that right? And so everybody say, I know I can. So I want to take it a little bit further. I just don't want to say I know I can, but today for a subtopic, I want to talk from the subject, I know who I am. I know who I am. So everybody say, I know I can, and I know who I am. One more time, I know I can, and I know who I am. Now look at your neighbor and say, do you know who you are? All right. If not, tell them just hold on, just hang tight. We're going to be there in a little while, and they're going to find out. One of the keys to winning in life, and how many winners do I have in life? And okay, I hope I got more winners than that. Winners, make some noise. Okay, all right. One of the keys to winning in life is knowing who you are. The moment you start seeing yourself the way God sees you, the game changes. And the reason the game changes is because you stop living based on what somebody told you. Or you stop living based on what somebody said you were, because now you understand the word of God, and it's the word of God that has changed your life and makes the difference in your life. So you have this confession, you know, that no matter what it looks like, no matter what I'm going through, I have confidence that I am who God says I am. So my situation does not change who I am. The writer says that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and that's who I am. I don't care if I feel like I'm depressed today. That's not what's going to come out of my mouth. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. And when you know who you are in God, the whole game changes. Because when I know who I am, watch this, nobody can lie to me and tell me I'm something that I'm not. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And in life, people will try to tell you you're this and you're that and you're that. But you've got to know who you are. And when, watch it. And when you know who you are and people look at you crazy and tell you who you aren't, you just look at them. My son, Jay, he was doing that for a while. We would be playing around talking about something, and he kind of looked at me like this. But then he had this little smirk. I said, well, now you need to lose the smirk. Everybody say, I know who I am. And so there's this confidence that you must have that, watch this, because anytime you go through a situation, immediately the enemy will try to define who you are in that situation. Does that make sense? And so, no, and you've got to understand that who I am is not based on what I'm going through. You got it? Because I don't plan on being in this situation longer. I plan on getting right through it, because David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So because I know who I am, I know I'm victorious. I know that I'm more than a conqueror. And I understand what I'm going through is just temporary. It's not always going to be like this. Does that make sense? Hebrews 10 and 35, go with me there. So I have to have this confidence. Everybody say confidence. And confidence is what makes the difference. I'm telling you, confidence is what makes the difference. The writer says, watch this. Cast not away, therefore your what, class? So cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Okay, so we're going to start over. Because I lost you. Y'all were doing so good. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. So my confidence, watch this, will be rewarded. He says, for you have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So it is my confidence that gets rewarded. He says, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Too many times we lose our confidence because of a situation we went through, because of something somebody said, because of somebody lied on you, or somebody walked out on you, and you lose your confidence, not understanding your confidence never lied in those things. Your confidence lied in Jehovah Jireh, the one that provides. Your confidence lied that lies in the fact that he's the author and the finisher of your faith. Your confidence lies in that he is your joy. He's not going to be your joy right now, wherever you are in life. He is your joy. He's not going to be your peace right now. He is your peace. And what you've got to do is learn to start walking in that peace, because when I receive God, I receive everything he is and everything he has. Well, if he is peace, then he's got to be my peace. If he is joy, then he's got to be my joy. If he has more than enough, then that means I have to have more than enough. But I have to have confidence, and my confidence will be rewarded. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. My confidence is in God, and watch this, and the ability of his word, that his word, watch this, that God, that I serve a God that cannot lie, that he will not change, and his word shall not return unto him void. So if God said it, he's going to do it, and if he spoke it, he is going to bring it to pass. Look at somebody, say, this young man is already teaching. We just got started, and he's already teaching. See, the way you build your confidence is through saturation of the word of God. I hear it over and over and over, and you have to. Why? Because the devil is talking over and over and over, and people don't like you are talking over and over. And so what happens is, you've got to watch this, make sure that his voice is the loudest voice. And so my confidence, watch this now, is built when I saturate myself with the word of God, and not by how people feel about you, and not by a situation you're going through. So your confidence has to be in the word that you've heard. The writer says, so then faith cometh by and hearing by. Yeah. And so if God said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. It is my confidence. I can't say this enough, because I need you to understand it. It's my confidence that's going to be rewarded. Confidence, watch this now, to believe that he's working everything out for my good. Confidence to believe that my body is healed. I don't care what it's doing right now. Confidence to believe that every delay is in my favor, and no today don't mean no tomorrow. Confidence that slow don't mean no. Everybody say slow, don't mean no. Confidence to believe that God can fulfill me right where I am in the moment that I am. Even if the thing I'm believing for has not come to pass, I can be fulfilled and content right here in the state where I'm at. So I don't have a flawed criteria when it comes to fulfillment in my life. If they pay me, I'll be fulfilled. Wrong. If they give me a title, I'll be fulfilled. Wrong. If they accept me into their circle, I'll be fulfilled. Right? So those are all fulfillment decoys. My confidence is based on the fact that I'm already accepted in the beloved, that he can love me no more than he already loves me. People try to say, well, I got to get closer to God, because I need to know, I need to make him happy. So, you know, no, you got to understand, God loves you to infinity and beyond. Does that make sense? He cannot love you any more than he loves you right now. But Pastor, I messed up. I don't care what you did. We ain't talking about that right now. I'm telling you that God is never going to change his mind. I got to calm down, because I'm getting excited. God is never going to change his mind about you. He's never going to walk away. He's never going to throw in the towel and say, just forget it. No. God says that I have made a commitment that I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you, that I'm going to be with you to the end. And I love you to infinity and beyond. Everybody say, to infinity and beyond. So my confidence is based in the fact, watch this now, that I'm already accepted and beloved. And that's where my joy comes from. And I'm here to tell you, you can't let anybody steal your joy. I got to ask y'all some questions. Why you been letting people steal your joy? You got to get it made up in my mind. From this day forward, I'm not going to let a situation steal my joy. I'm not going to let a person steal my joy. I'm not going to let a job steal my joy. I'm not going to let a boss steal my joy. I'm not going to let anything steal my joy. Watch this. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. He says, therefore, anytime you see therefore, you need to ask yourself wherefore. Right? But let's keep going, and then we're going to go to wherefore in a minute. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what class?
Steadfast
and what?
Unmovable.
I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe. It's going to get better. Child, you've been saying that for a year. I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe. It's going to get better. Child, you've been saying that for 2 years. I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe. It's going to get better. Child, you've been saying that for 3 years. You might as well just come on and sit down with me. No, because if I sit down with you, we always going to be in the same place for the rest of our life. But to the degree I choose to believe that all things are possible, I am going to have confidence in God, in his word, and I'm going to see God show up in my life. Give God a big hand praise. So he says, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Because anytime you start going through things, the first thing the enemy wants you to do is start backing up. Everybody say, don't back up. He said, don't go to church no more. He'll start telling you lies. Pastor don't love you. Come on, somebody. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Lady don't love you. They different. I'm the same person I always been. You understand what I'm saying? And you can't let the devil lie. No, devil. Because see, what you don't understand is he's trying to, watch this, keep you from the word of God, because he knows that if you get that word, it's going to change your life. Because he knows what you got going on, watch this, in that week. But the Holy Ghost also knows what you got going on this week. And even though I don't know, I'm sitting down, and I don't know why Holy Spirit's taking me to the left, and he's taking me to the right, but he knows what's going on in your life, and the enemy is trying to stop you from getting here so you can get the word so it could change your life. Does that make sense? So he says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Watch what it says in the Message translation. With all this going on for us, with all what going on for us? I told you, even whenever you see therefore, you got to say wherefore. And then when we went to the Message translation, he alludes to the same thing that the writer in KJV says. He says, with all, and so you got to say, what's going on? Because watch this, he is saying, watch this, that my joy and my expectation and my confidence to keep going is based on, watch this, what's already been going on for me. So let's go back and find, because, you know, we teach the word around here, and we want to make sure everybody gets to the same place. So watch this. They're going to put it up on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. Everybody say, what's going on? Come on, say it again. Say, what's going on? The writer said, look, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised up incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You have to understand that you might be in this world, but you're not of this world, that you're just passing through, right? He says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, watch this, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, before I go any further, we know that Jesus already took care of death, hell, and the grave. Right? And so the writer is trying to get them encouraged. He's trying to get them in faith. He's trying to get them excited to understand, listen, this is not it. It's not the end of the road. You got it? You got to understand, Jesus is coming back for you and for me. And when we go with him to heaven, it's going to be amazing. Everybody say amazing. So he's getting them excited about that. And then he says, it's going to go back to the saying that death is swallowed up in victory. All right, all right. How do I want to go there? Yeah, yeah. Let's go to verse 55.
Oh, death. Because I ain't afraid of dying.
No, too many people are afraid of dying. They won't cross a bridge because they're afraid that the bridge is going to collapse and they're going to die. They won't get in an airplane because they think that the airplane is going to fall and die. See, you really can't start living life until you are no longer afraid of death. You understand what I'm saying? Because when you're not afraid of death, you let the devil know it don't matter. Because if I close my eyes here on earth, I'm just going to open my eyes in heaven. And really, this is not my final place. So he said, he talked to death. Watch this. Because my thing is, why do we let the devil be the only one talking to us? Why don't you talk back? You got it? He said, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. So my joy is based on my confidence that I already have victory in Jesus. Y'all remember that song where you sing, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Y'all remember that? Yeah. Well, how does it go? He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me and I knew him and all my, y'all don't know that one. Let's keep going. No. See, you don't got to be saved. You got to be sure enough saved. Everybody say sure enough saved. You got to be sure enough saved to go that back, to go that far back. Y'all do know this one. At the cross. Okay, all right. All right. Y'all are saved. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't let anyone or anything steal your joy. Now look at your second choice. Say, neighbor. Oh, come on now. Don't back up on them. Look at your second choice. Say, neighbor, don't let anyone or anything steal your joy. That you ought to just have a praise break right there. You just got that. I know they lied on you, but don't let them steal your joy. I know they walked away from you, but don't let them steal your joy. I know they talking about you right now, but don't let nobody steal your joy. I know they stole from you, but don't you let nobody steal your joy. I got out to bed this morning to tell you to don't let anything steal your joy. Oh, my God, my God, my God. He said, I am going to give you double for your trouble. Y'all don't hear me in the house. And I need somebody to believe and have confidence that no matter what comes and no matter what goes, he is going to give me double for my trouble. Put my first Isaiah up on the screen. You got to watch this. Somebody just do like this. You got to get ready. You got to get ready to go. You got to make it up in your mind. I'm tired of standing still. I'm tired of backing up because of somebody and how they treated me. You know, we all do that, right? When people treat us wrong, we just kind of back up, because we're trying to be humble and those kinds. But I got my mind made up. I am not backing up no more. God only has one gear. It's not park, it's not reverse, and it's certainly not neutral. That's why I say quit step. You got to, because his only gear is drive, and he wants you to move forward. He says, watch this, for your shame ye shall have, and for your confusion, because sometimes you'll be minding your own business, you ain't bothering nobody, you ain't doing nothing wrong, and all of a sudden the devil will come this way, and the devil will come, you'll be like, what in the world is going on? But the writer said, for your shame and your confusion, watch this, they shall rejoice in their portion. He says, therefore, in their land they shall possess, and everlasting shall be unto them. He says, when you go through hell and high water, I want you to know you're not doing it in vain. I got to calm down. I am going to give you double for your trouble and joy for the rest of your life. Put my next scripture up, in case you didn't see that one in the Message translation.
If you can give me a little bit more in the house, give me a little bit more house. He says, because I got another lesson to go behind this one. Because you got a double dose of trouble. Jesus. And more than your share of contempt. I looked up the word contempt to find out what the word said. And Webster has three different definitions for it. And the one is when people overlook you and push you out the way. The writer says, because you got a double dose of trouble, and because, watch this, when you were available, they didn't want you, they pushed you to the side. Y'all don't hear me talking in this house. He said, I want you to know, when you, watch this, when you go through that, you have an inheritance. Jesus. He says, in the land will be, and your joy will go on. He said, I don't care how much hell you went through. I don't care how much trouble you went through. I'm going to give you double for your trouble. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Somebody say double for my trouble. Say double for my trouble. And say joy forever. Now you ought to give God praise in the house. Go to Job. Go to Job. Go to Job. Yeah. He says, watch this. Fear not. Don't you be afraid. Don't you be intimidated. Don't you worry about nobody else. Don't you back up. He said, fear not. And I don't want you to be fear. I don't want you to walk in fear. He says, because if you walk in fear, you can't walk in joy. That's what the writer said. He said, fear not, O lamb, and be. All right. So have joy. And rejoice. I can't rejoice if I don't have joy. You got it? That's why I tell you, I don't care what you're going through, make it to the house of God. And watch this. And even when it ain't working for you and it's working for your neighbor, you got to learn how to rejoice with your neighbor. Because if God is blessing your neighbor, Jesus, he's in the neighborhood. You got to leap for joy. You got to wave your hand. You got to take off. Yeah. You know what that is right there? That's my angels on assignment. That's my angels getting ready to go. They waiting for me to say the word of the Lord. They're waiting for me to say what God's word says so they can take off and bring it to pass in the earth realm. He said, fear not, O land. I got out the bed this morning. Jesus, to let you know, if you will have confidence toward this word, he said he will reward your confidence. And you have to have confidence that he's going to give me double for my trouble. And my double is not based on my paycheck. It's not based on my income. It's not based on any of that. It's based on his promises. And his promises are yes and amen. Everybody say, fear not.
Fear not.
Oh, man, I had a whole nother lesson, but, you know, it's all good. He says, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do. Not might do, will do. And when you know that the Lord will do, we don't even have to walk around anymore saying he will do. We start saying the Lord is doing. He is doing great things in my life. We got to go, we got to go, we got to go. Watch this, for the Lord will do great things. How many believe it? He says, be not, watch how he starts prophesying. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. He said, things are coming alive. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter. Watch it in the first month. Jesus, see if I had time. Oh God, I really want to explain it. and the floors shall be full of wheat. Sound like overflow to me. Sound like more than enough to me. And the vats shall overflow with wine. He says, I don't want you to worry about anything. I don't want you to lose focus of my plan and my purpose and my destiny for your life. I don't want you to run down a lie, because if it's a lie, let it lie. I want you to stay focused, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Oh, Jesus. I'm getting ready. Because God is about to catapult me to the next level. I'm getting ready. Because God is about to take me into my next season. I'm getting ready. Because God is about to do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. I'm getting ready because my marriage is going to the next level. I'm getting ready because my money is going to the next level. I'm getting ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready to see something I've never seen before. I'm getting ready to see God do something in my life that he's never done before. Woo. Somebody say, get ready, get ready. So he says, I don't want you to lose focus, because where there was barrenness, I'm going to cause it to come to life. He said, but you won't watch this. He said, but you, see, first the blade, then the ear, after that, the full corn in the ear. He says, when you see the blade, it's supposed to put you in a state of expectation that I know God's doing something. But if you are so focused on somebody lying on you, or how somebody did you wrong, or this ain't going right, you will never see that God is working in your life in the midst of everything going on. All right, I got to wrap this up. Are y'all getting blessed? Yeah. He says, oh, I love this next part. God, I love this. This is the part. This is the scripture that I was declaring when Margaret started walking and taking off across the front. Y'all remember? That's what the Holy Spirit reminded me last night. He said, and I will restore. When God says he's going to do something, you got to get it made up in your mind. God is going to do something. And I will restore to you the years, so it don't matter how long you've been going through it, that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. You got it? I could change those and make them in today's time, but I ain't even gonna go that way. Y'all would go crazy if I did that. He said, my great army, which I sent among you. He said, so the first thing I want you to know is, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. I'm going to restore everything back to you. So he makes a promise, and then after he promises them, he starts making declarations. He said, and ye shall eat in plenty, and ye shall be satisfied. It's time out for eating tuna in the can from the refrigerator. He said, I'm bringing you to a place anytime you want to go get you a steak, a filet mignon, I'm taking you from Timex to Rolex. I'm taking you from Hyundai to Mercedes. But if you don't believe it, it won't be possible for you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. He says, but you can't forget the Lord your God. Too many people, what messes them up is they start prospering, they start doing good, and they lose their minds. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't lose your mind. Don't lose your mind. Look at your other neighbor and tell them, don't lose your mind. Don't lose your mind. So when God starts blessing me, I'm still the same guy I always been. When God starts raising me up, I understand it's not for my head to get big. Hello, somebody. But it's for me to have a platform to look at somebody and say, look what the Lord has done. Jesus. So he says, you're going to eat plenty and be satisfied. And he says, if you don't lose your mind, he says, you will praise the name of the Lord your God that have dealt wondrously with you. He says, I love this next part. And if you do it my way, you're going to get my results. He said, and you shall never be ashamed. He didn't just say it once. He said it twice. He said, and you shall know
that I am in the midst of Israel. For us, we shall know that he is in the midst of WLCC. And that I am the Lord your God, and none, ain't no God like our God. No God like our God. He moves mountains. He calls walls to fall by his power. He performs miracles. He calls cancer to go. He calls lame to walk. He calls blind to see. He's the only one after 3 days that got back up. Ain't no God like our God. I really want to go to the next year, but I got to get a shave a little bit for 11 o'clock. They're going to be mad with y'all. And my people shall never be ashamed. They shall never be ashamed. He says, I don't care what comes. I don't care what goes. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care if they're laughing because they're counting you out because she done been through this before. And she done been through, she crying her eyes out. But it's going to be the same thing round and round and round. He says, don't you listen to any of that. You let my voice be the loudest voice in your life. I am never going to make you ashamed. Play something soft. We got to go. I ain't going to preach no more. Watch this. Watch this. Do I want to do that? Do I want to do that? Real quick. Borrow this story. Yeah, I think I'm going to teach it a little different. When I was writing it, I thought I was going to be in fifth gear, but I'm already in sixth. Borrow this story from my mama in the faith, Pastor Bridget. Shared at the Women Who Win conference. Say, let nothing steal your joy. So she said there was this mama and there's a daughter. And they were on the road somewhere. And the daughter was kind of young. She'd been driving a few years, that kind of thing. And they were going to a destination. Everybody said destination. And as they start going through this destination, the rain started coming down. And the girl got a little bit nervous, and she asked her mama. She said, well, mama, because she started seeing people slow down. She's like, mama, what should I do? And her mama, very firmly, she said, you stay focused. You stay in your lane, and you keep on driving. So she just kept on going. But as she kept going, the rain started coming down even more. Now people are starting to pull off to the right. And she says, well, mama, should I pull over? And, you know, she's a new driver, so she hadn't been through a storm like this before. But the mama has some experience under her belt. And she said, you stay focused. You stay in your lane, and you keep on driving. As she went a little bit longer, it got so bad that you could hardly see. You know when it rains so bad, you could hardly see 10 feet in front of you? And she said, well, mama, come on now. Surely I need to stop. And it's like, I'm the only one driving. Everybody has stopped. She said, daughter, you stay focused. You stay in your lane. And you keep driving. It was just a few minutes later, they got out of the storm. Watch this. And watch this. The storm was still there, but they drove out of the storm. Things started clearing up. And then the mama said, she said, now pull over. She said, get out the car. And they walked to the front. She said, look back. Everybody that stopped is still in the storm. She said, I read the weather report, and it said it was going to be temporary. If you had stopped, you'd still be in the storm. Now, I did not read the weather report, but this morning I read the word of God. And he said that your afflictions are just for a moment. He that hath begun a good work in you is going to perform. So you better not let anything steal your joy. And if you did, you get it back today. Don't you be moved by what you see, only by what you believe. Jesus said it himself. Persecutions will come. But I think the message translation says, too bad for them who bring it on. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Y'all can